Did I do okay, man? He told me to come up on the trash. He said, when we trash it at the end, that's when you come up. Was that the trash? Okay, thanks. Okay, cool. I had no idea what trash means. Merry Christmas, family. How are we doing? You can finally sit down. Hey, check this out. So part of me can't even believe it's Christmas. I mean, this is kind of nuts, right? The year just sort of flew by, but it is, and it's our opportunity as a family to celebrate as we do every year. And the cool thing about Christmas, the fun thing about Christmas is we all sort of have our different traditions, right? And so one person's traditions doesn't necessarily look like the other person's Christmas traditions. And so, for example, I remember when I was a kid, my mom had a certain specific tradition that may be unlike yours, where my mom would, a week in advance, she would wrap presents and she would put the presents out under the tree to build the anticipation of Christmas. Anybody else do this, right? So number one, she liked the look of the presents, right? She liked the look of them. And number two, it just built that excitement and that anticipation. And I remember one particular year, I was about 11 years old, and my mom had done this, right? But there was one box that was strange because it was a bigger box and it was addressed to me, right? To Anson, love mom. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what could be in there? What could that possibly be? And I'm every day I'm just looking, I'm just wondering what's in the box. And there came a day when my mom left me alone at the house. And so I'm in the living room and I'm staring at the box and I'm like, what could possibly be in the box? And it was almost as if the box was speaking to me, saying, you should peek. You should look. I heard this voice kind of say, hey, don't you want to know what's in this Christmas box? Don't you want to know what's in here? Like, you've been a good boy. You've been a good boy all year long. You deserve to peek at this thing. And then I heard another voice that said, no, Anson, honor your mom. Anson, don't ruin Christmas. And immediately I said to that voice, be quiet. Mind your own business. And I got me some scissors and I walked over to the box and I'm there at the house all by myself and I take the scissors and like a surgeon, I just slice along the tape and I sort of unfold the paper neatly, but I can't see enough of it. So now I have to slice down the side to get a little bit more undone. And I finally got enough paper off the box. And to my wondering eyes, did I see it was a Nintendo. Anybody remember Nintendos? Like the first Nintendo, not the imitations. The first Nintendo, it was a Nintendo Entertainment System with two games, The Legend of Zelda and Metroid. So it was like a nerd survival kit. And I was so excited, man. I couldn't believe I was getting Nintendo. I had no idea I was getting Nintendo. This was amazing to me, right? And so I'm so stoked and I'm sitting there and I'm smiling because I'm so pumped about the fact that I'm getting Nintendo. And that's when the front door swung open and my mom walked in. And I heard her gasp. She looked at me, she goes, and I saw my mom's shocked face. And I said the first thing that came to my mind, I said, Mom, it was an accident. She said, well, you have your present in front of you open. How was that an accident? I said, well, I was running through the house and I fell down and I slid and I hit the present and it came out of the paper. She said, why were you running through the house? I said, I was playing hide and go seek. She said, Anson, you're home alone. Who were you playing hide and go seek with? And I'm like, myself. She's like, how do you play hide and go seek with yourself? I said, it's easy. You hide and then you go find yourself. I'm just making stuff up. I'm talking like a crazy person because I just got caught red-handed trying to take a peek at my big Christmas present. Now, here's the question, family. Why do we do stuff like that? Well, what causes us to do junk like that? Well, here it is, family. It's because, honestly, we love to experience the moment of receiving a gift. Like who doesn't like that, right? Who doesn't love to receive some kind of gift, especially when the gift is awesome, right? Especially when the gift is amazing. Now, here's why I tell you all that, family. You got to understand, just to be clear, the entire point of Christmas for the Christian, the entire point of this moment right here for the person who loves Jesus, worships Jesus, bows the knee to Jesus, and adores Jesus, the entire point of this moment, family, is to give thanks for the greatest gift that has ever been given in the history of history. And John chapter 1, the Gospel of John tells us all about this gift. I want to read this to you, family. Listen to what it says in John chapter 1. And some of you are familiar with this, right? John chapter 1 says this in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, you got to pay real close attention to what just happened, because this is fantastic. This is an incredible passage of scripture, because I don't know if you've ever read the book of Genesis. Once upon a time, back a few years ago, we preached through the book of Genesis here at Emmaus. It took us like 2.5 years. It was insane, because there's like 50 chapters. But we started where you always start when you're preaching through Genesis. We started in chapter 1 and verse 1. And if you're familiar with the book of Genesis, then you know that chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first verse in the Bible says this, family. It says, in the beginning, God created the what? Anybody know? The heavens and the earth. So it's this fantastic moment where we're given this glimpse of God speaking creation into existence, right? Which is amazing. The fact that God would say, let there be light and let there be an earth and let there be sky, right? All this amazing stuff. It's an incredible moment. But did you notice what just happened in John 1? This is incredible. In John chapter 1, verse 1, John actually backs up even further than Genesis 1:1, and he tells us what was happening before there was even a beginning. Did you see that? It's incredible. Like in John chapter 1, verse 1, we're not told about creation. We're not told about when creation started. We're not told about the moment when God created everything. But instead, it starts with what happened before creation and what was going on in eternity past before creation, right? So in other words, what John's doing is this. He's like, let me tell you the story of what was happening before there was a Mount Everest, before there was a Nile River, before there was a Mediterranean Sea, before there was a Tyrannosaurus Rex or red meat or armadillos, before there was oxygen or water or atoms or protons or boy bands. Here's what was happening before any of that. What was there before any of that stuff existed? John says, before that, there was Jesus. Before any of this, before creation was a thing, before any of this was in existence, Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. We're told he was with God and he was God. Follow that train of thought. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that's confusing. That's difficult to understand. Guess what? You're not supposed to understand it. You're not supposed to be able to fathom that thought, family. See, here's how this works. The 3.5-pound human brain that forgot what we had for lunch yesterday is not equipped to understand the magnificent reality and truth that we call the Trinity. We can't fathom, we can't understand this idea that there is one God with three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all distinctly God, all having the attributes of God, and yet one God. The human mind cannot possibly conceive this. But just so you know, family, the fact that we're not able to comprehend that, it's not meant to frustrate you, it's meant to humble you. That reality is meant to remind you that God is God and you're not, right? That reality is actually meant to remind you that in this universe, there is a throne and you don't sit on it, amen? It's meant to humble you. And here's our boy John right out of the gate saying, look, man, I don't fully understand it either, but all I'm telling you is that in the beginning, before there was anything, there was Jesus. And here's what's so interesting. Notice the words that John chooses to use here. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it's really important that we understand what John's doing there, because that word in the Greek actually literally means logos or logos. And what that word logos actually means is this. Follow this. The Greek word logos literally means this, family. It means an expression of God's divine will and power. An expression of God's divine will and power. Here's what this means. What John is actually saying to us here in the first few verses of the Gospel of John is this right here, beloved. God, listen, the message is this. God Almighty has something very important to say to the human race and it's Jesus. That's his message. God has something critically important to communicate to broken sinners. And what he wants to communicate is Jesus. That's the message. God has wisdom and truth and insight and true knowledge to drop on every single one of us. And it's found in Jesus. Follow this, family. The point is simply this. If you want to know what God's will for your life is, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God's purpose for your existence in this world is, look to Jesus. If you want to know what it looks like to live a life that is actually meaningful, look to Jesus. That's where you look. You look to Jesus. You don't look to a magic eight ball. You don't look to your inner self. You don't look to an overpriced book by a self-help author. You don't look to the fortune cookie. You don't look to the horoscope. You don't look to the culture who's constantly passing out microphones to the latest pop star so they can give us more tips on how to break the Ten Commandments. Amen? Right? If you want to know what life is all about, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what real wisdom looks like, if you want to know what real truth looks like, you got to look to Jesus. And follow this, family, because understand there's a reason why Jesus Christ is far more qualified than anyone else in human history to dish out wisdom and truth. And the reason is this. It's because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Logos. But here's the deal, family. I'm not going to assume that everybody in here actually believes that. That would be probably foolish of me to actually think that in a room this size on Christmas Eve, at a Christmas Eve service, everybody actually believes that Jesus is God. The reality is that some of us in here don't believe that Jesus is God. And if you're in here tonight and you don't believe that Jesus is God, then I got two things I want to say to you as lead pastor of this church. The first thing I want to say to you is I'm really glad that you're here. If you're here tonight and you don't believe that Jesus is God, guess what? You're welcome here, and I'm really stoked and glad you're here. And frankly, I really hope that you'll join us in a couple weeks when we start a brand new sermon series to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. I think it'd be valuable for you and hopefully encouraging to you and maybe even insightful to you. And so I hope you'll join us for that. So I'm glad you're here. But the second thing I want to say to you is this. I want you to understand that if you don't believe that Jesus is God, if you don't believe what the scriptures are saying here in John chapter 1, you got to understand that that worldview literally affects every single area of your life. That not believing that Jesus is who he says he is affects every area of your life. Here's what I mean. Look at verse 3 again. I'm going to read this one more time. It says, all things were made through him, who Jesus, and without him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. So think about what this means, family. And I'll just lay all my cards out on a table, and maybe this won't even be surprising to you because, hey, I am a Christian pastor, but as a Christian, I believe what this verse says, okay? What I mean by that is, as a Christian, I believe that Jesus Christ is the creator who created everything. So for example, science tells us there's about 100 billion stars in the average galaxy. Matter of fact, Albert Einstein believed that with our largest telescopes, we've only actually seen about 1/1,000,000,000th of theoretical space, which means, family, there's probably something like 10 octillion stars in the universe. And just, you know, 10 octillion is a 10 with 27 zeros behind it. That's how many stars, 10 with 27 zeros behind it. And as a Christian, I just happen to believe that Jesus made every single one of those stars. That every single one of those stars exists because Jesus is. Additionally, there's about 37.2 trillion cells in the average human body all at once trying to keep you alive. And I just sort of believe that Jesus is the one who created every single one of those cells. The Bible says all things were made by Jesus, but here's the reality. Some of you in here tonight, you don't believe that we're created by Jesus. But instead, you believe we're happenstance, we're an accident, we're the result of some mysterious particle that exploded 13.77 billion years ago. And as a result, you don't believe that there is life after death, but instead you believe that we came from nothing and therefore we're destined to die and become nothing. Now, here's the consequence of all that. When you believe that we came from nothing and we're destined to die and become nothing, the problem is that ultimately for you, the whole point of this life is nothing. Because how can there be a point in a pointless universe? And see, just so you know, family, this is what makes the Christian worldview so radically different. This is why we celebrate on Christmas Eve. This is why we celebrate what we call the Advent, the coming of Jesus. Why do we celebrate the birth of this Christ child? Well, here's why, family. It's what makes the Christian worldview so distinct and so different. As a Christian, I believe John 1:3, which means I believe that Jesus made me. I believe that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. And therefore, I believe that the ultimate purpose of life is to make much of Jesus, to celebrate Jesus, to worship Jesus. On days like this, to get really loud about Jesus and who he is and what he did and why he came. So here's the point, beloved. What you believe about where you came from will literally affect every single detail, every area of your life. Another way to say it is this: this is a really big deal. Us being here tonight, doing what we're doing, is a really big deal. And then finally, John closes out with this in verse 4. Watch what he says. He says, in him, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Did you catch that? Beloved, watch this. There are two powerful truths we need to pay really close attention to here tonight. The first one is this. Number one, there is darkness in this world. I mean, is anyone even prepared to debate that one? Like, I don't care what worldview you came in here from. Like, is anybody going, no, man, I heard the news today and I don't think there's darkness at all in the world. Everything's great. I mean, here, I don't care if you're an atheist or a follower of Jesus or you celebrate Festivus, man. Like the reality is, you look at the world and you know things are not the way that they should be. Something's broken, something's off, something is askew. I mean, this is just, everyone can agree on this point, but here's the difference, man. Here's the difference between the atheist and the follower of Jesus. The atheist, watch this, the atheist looks at how broken and dark the world is. And the atheist, seeing the brokenness of the world, the atheist declares, see, this world is broken, and that's proof there is no God. That's proof there is no God. However, the Christian sees the brokenness of the world and says, see, this world is broken, and that's proof we need God. That's proof we need the light. We need Jesus. And just so you know, beloved, this is what makes what John says here so incredibly powerful, because here's our boy John saying, yeah, in this world there is darkness. That's not news to anybody. We see the suffering. We get it. There's darkness. There's brokenness. But here's the good news, and this is number two. But family, Jesus Christ, watch this. Jesus Christ is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is good news. See, here's the point that John's making here, beloved. The brokenness in this world is not proof that there is no God. The brokenness in this world is proof that we all need God. That broken marriage, those rebellious kids, that empty bank account, that lost job, that betraying friend, that foreclosed house, that tragic death of somebody that you love, that terminal disease. Listen, none of that is proof that God isn't real, but instead all of that pain and all of that struggle is proof that you need a savior. You need light in the darkness. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate tonight. I remember back years ago, my youngest daughter was 5. She's 11 now, so she's a lot older now. And she was 5 years old. And I remember that I was reading to her the Jesus Storybook Bible, the story at the beginning of it about the creation, about God creating everything. And I remember reading that story to her and closing up the Bible and kissing her goodnight. And I'm walking out of her room. And she asked me the question that some of y'all have been asked by your kids. She asked me, she said, Daddy, who made God? Don't you love that one? Daddy, who made God? I'm like, call Pastor Brian, ask him, right? No, I was like, well, baby, no, nobody made God. God's always been here. God is God. He's eternal. He's forever. She said, yeah, but when was God born? I said, no, baby, God wasn't born. I said, we're born. God makes us born, but God is eternal. He's been around forever. She said, but Daddy, who made Jesus? I said, baby, nobody made Jesus. Jesus is God. She thought about it for a second. She said, so then God has two heads? I said, go to sleep, baby. Go to sleep. Here's my point. Here's my point to wrap this all up. Our minds will never be able to fully comprehend the magnificence of this incredible truth that's being unpacked for us in these five verses. But you know what, family? Our hearts should be moved by it. Our lives should be transformed by this. Because here's what Christmas is all about. In a nutshell, the God of all creation has willingly stepped into this dark world on a rescue mission to rescue sinners like us. And his name is Jesus. And we worship Jesus. We celebrate Jesus. We give thanks for the greatest gift that's ever been given in the history of all history. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the light that shines in this dark world. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our creator. Jesus is our deliverer. Jesus is faithful and true. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is wisdom of God. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the hope of glory. Jesus is the great I am. Jesus is the King of kings. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is our protection. Jesus is our redemption. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is the true bread. He's the true life. He's the true vine. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That's who Jesus is. And that's why tonight matters. And if you've never surrendered your life to King Jesus, he will save you today on Christmas Eve if you will trust in who he is. If you confess that you're a sinner, you're broken and you need a perfect savior, and he's Jesus, and you trust in him, who the Bible says he is, you'll be saved. And so tonight, just like we do every single Christmas Eve up in here, in a moment I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna light this candle from the Christ candle. And we're going to take this candle, and the light is going to spread all throughout this room as a reminder of this glorious fact that the light of the world, Jesus Christ and his gospel, has spread all over this planet for the past 2,000 years until by God's grace, it actually reached us too. And so let's pray together, family. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for a moment where we can, in the midst of what is oftentimes in our culture, just a crazy season where we feel so spread thin, so busy, so active. Thank you for a moment tonight where we get to pause, we get to be still, we get to rest, we get to reflect on why this season matters so much, particularly to Christians, to believers, to sinners saved by grace. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you that you came to this world, the light of the world, Lord. You came to this dark place. We thank you and praise you that you lived the perfect life that we could never live. We thank you and praise you that throughout your life, you were no stranger to suffering or persecution or mockery. We thank you and praise you that you willingly laid down your life on a cross for sinners like us. We praise you and thank you that though we were the ones who deserved that cross, you went to it and you didn't deserve it at all because you're perfect. We thank you and praise you that you did it all that you might save us from our sin, make us right before a holy God who loves us. We thank you and praise you that 3 days after that, you rose out of the grave, defeating death and hell and the devil. And right now, you're at the right hand of God advocating for us, and that you are coming back again. And we look forward to that day, Lord Jesus. Lord, right now, we want to give thanks for the light that you bring to our lives, for the light that you bring to this world. We pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.